When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Today is Monday, November 5th, and you're listening to the Red Sox Beat Podcast here on the CLNS Media Network. My name is Jared Scally. I am alongside co-host, of course, Jess Thomas. Tonight we're talking about awards, more awards, the Red Sox Parade, and of course, Craig Kimbrell made some news this week. So we'll talk about all that on this episode of Red Sox Beat. All right, Red Sox fans, welcome in. Of course, Red Sox Beat here on CLNS Media, the leading online provider of audio and video coverage for your 2018 World Series champion, Boston Red Sox, on Twitter at Red Sox CLNS. Facebook is Red Sox Beat Podcast, as well as CLNS Media. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes. We are officially, Jess, which I know you hate, into the offseason. The parade of champions around the city, so all the other teams are done. The awards are being announced. The confetti's being picked up off Boylston Street. And now we talk about player contracts and what's going to happen and who's getting paid and who's not going to paid. And that being said, hello, Jess. How are you?
Well, you know, I'm happy that the off season is as late as it possibly could be. So in that sense, it's okay because, you know, I have no choice. It's a lot better than it being the off season at the beginning of October. So I won't complain. I will complain. But I won't complain as much because we won the World Series. And it's already November, so it's okay. But I like, are you gonna do this 2018 World Champions every show for the whole offseason? Cause I think you should.
I was gonna say, is that get you a little giddy? Cause I can.
It does, yeah.
I'm a little excited.
I think the fans might like it too.
Okay. So I think you should. I don't mind keeping that in there. I like it. They are the 2018 World Series champs, yes. They have a trophy that's probably a little broken to prove it, based off the parade. For those of you who didn't get it, Jess hates the offseason. For those of you who are new to the show this year. First off season, welcome. It's the most awful time of the year because we all don't get baseball for a few months. But like Jess said, it's already November. And in 3 months, their pitchers and catches reporting to Fort Myers for the defense of this title. So hang in there. Enjoy the holiday season because I know we will. Let's talk about the parade because
yes,
it was fun. It always is. I got a chance to step outside because my day job, the 9 to 5, is right there on Boylston. So I got a chance to step outside. A lot of us did, and it was fun. It's always a fun atmosphere. I don't think people are getting sick of them. I think that was something that got up a lot. I was like, oh, we're having parade fatigue. If you're having parade fatigue, that is the ultimate spoiled Boston attitude you can have. Oh, I'm so sick of the championship parades. Oh, my team won again. Are you really going to pull that?
Right.
Good guys. This was the best team in Red Sox history with the most wins in franchise history who only lost 3 games the entire postseason. You're going to have parade fatigue? This is probably one of the better ones in the last 10, 15 years.
Well, yeah, my response to parade fatigue is, with parade, you gotta assume everyone's gonna be the last one you ever see. You know?
Yep. 100%. I mean,
maybe they're gonna do this for the rest of our lives, but like, this is an unprecedented run of success the last 17 years.
I was gonna say, what happens in the next 10 years if all of our teams start to suck?
Right.
What if we become Cleveland?
Then we start talking about how we don't want parades anymore, like, enjoy it while you have it. You
exactly. Know? That sign that's always going around, that 16-year-old that's been like, 15 parades.
I know.
And it's like, that kid is spoiled. But yes. That being said, one thing that came up this week, and gotta make a little bit of controversy out of the parade, cause why not, was the whole story, Jess, about why are we throwing beers at players, blah, blah, blah. If they're looking, and they want it, then yeah. But like, I get it when people are like, oh, don't disrespect the players, don't throw the beers. I'm like, half those players were literally asking for it. Like, they were reaching out and saying, toss it my way. Now, Alex Cora got hit by one, definitely wasn't ready for it. Mookie Betts almost got hit in the face by one, definitely wasn't ready for it. The World Series trophy was broken by a Bud Light, definitely wasn't ready for it. But overall, I think it's a fun part of, like, if the players are ready and they want to have some fun, it's a nice way to interact with fans. Now, Jess, I know you're not a big drinker, but that's not the point of this. So I don't want people to think, oh, well, Jess is going to have a shaded argument. No. It's just a matter of, I think people are trying to have fun, Jess. I think part of that is the environment, and if the players are open and willing and asking for them to toss, then go for it.
Yeah, I don't think people are complaining about the players that were, like, asking for it, but they were definitely more focused on Cora getting hit while not looking, and Betts and his fam. I think one of his family members got hit by beer, too, so, and, like, full beer cans, like, heavier than empty ones, so I think that's what people are complaining about, and I do agree. I think that is stupid. You shouldn't be throwing stuff at players and potentially hurting them when they're trying to enjoy the day with their family. So I totally get that, and I'm all behind that. If they're ready for it, then yeah, then I got no problem with that. But the whole problem is you got drunk people in the crowd, you know, drinking makes you make stupid decisions. So then you're drinking, you make a stupid decision, and you throw a beer at someone who doesn't want one thrown at him, and then you hit him, and then you're an idiot.
And then you break the World Series trophy.
Yeah, right. And the guy got arrested for hitting Cora, so it's like, just don't be an idiot. But people are idiots. So,
do you think everyone else should have been arrested too? Because like, someone hit Mookie Betts or came very close to hitting Mookie Betts. Or do you think it was just someone happened to see who hit Cora and that's why he got arrested?
I assume so. I think that anybody would if they got caught. You can't really pick one and not the other. Yeah, actually, we like Cora better, so you
can arrest him. I don't care about Mookie Betts. It's okay. Right.
We're not going to arrest you, but we'll arrest him. Yeah, so it's, yeah. And I don't know about the trophy. I think I saw somewhere somebody saw the trophy after that and said that it, like, wasn't broken.
I don't know how wasn't, because I saw two pieces snap off, but hey, unless it was one of the older ones and the new one wasn't.
Yeah.
Unless it was, I don't know that bunch of it, because it was at the Bruins game tonight on Monday. As we record this, so
Could they replace it already?
I mean, it's Major League Baseball. I mean, they might as well be able to. But one thing that was confusing too was that like half the roster was at the Celtics game, and then they went to the Patriots game and a couple less. But they brought a duck boat into Gillette Stadium, mm-hmm. and then the Bruins game had the ownership group and Joe Kelly, and that was it. No one else went. Just Joe Kelly went to drop the ceremonial first puck drop, and that was it. No one else was there.
Well, yeah, I mean it's been over a week now, and I'm sure players going on vacation, and the Bruins weren't home for the entire time that they were touring everywhere at this point. So I'm not surprised that there weren't many left. But I mean, what a week for Cora having the parade and then the Celtics game and then Puerto Rico and then the Patriots game. And I mean, it's like, what a week for him. And I didn't realize that they were going to be going to Puerto Rico so quickly and be back on Sunday for the Pats game. That was pretty quick turnaround, and there were a lot of, you know, like five players and some of the coaches in Puerto Rico also, but that was so cool that they were able to go to Puerto Rico and do that.
That video of Alex Cora dancing in Puerto Rico
was great.
Just like, yep, I love my manager. He's great. But no, and like, and Jess, you know, I'm not the last one, and I'm probably usually the first one in line to give flack when the ownership group does something, but give them massive credit because you didn't have to say yes to Alex Cora. Like, you don't have to bring people down there to Puerto Rico, but they understood
right.
how much that country and his home, plus all the stuff they've dealt with, means to him, and to say, yep. you know what, yeah, we're going to help you out. We promised you when we hired you that we'd bring supplies down there. That wasn't just to get you here. We know you've played here. We love you, and we understand how important your homeland is to you. We're going to go down there now and celebrate with you because you belong to – you deserve to go down there and celebrate with us.
Yeah, it's really cool because, you know, during the year we were always talking about on the show how much, you know, fans love Cora and – media
love Cora.
Media clearly liked him, and the players were all about him. So it's like everybody liked him already. But then seeing them win this and seeing how people have reacted to it, it's like you can tell just how much they love this guy. And it's like an overwhelming amount. Like anybody will do anything for this guy, and he's just so popular already. And it's just like going to all these different stadiums, and everyone just goes nuts when he gets there. It's like, I cannot believe how popular he's gotten in just 1 year. Like,
yeah,
it
and it's
wild.
Crazy too, because you think about, like, you know, we talked about this before the World Series ended, how everyone, all the World Series titles they all won as the first year manager, right? Like Terry Francona, first year manager. John Farrell, first year manager. Now Alex Cora, first year manager. But none of those guys, I don't even think Terry Francona was loved this much after that first, like, I mean, obviously it was a big deal, but like, do you remember people touting around and just praising literally every inch of the ground that Terry Francona walked on? I don't remember that. I mean, we were younger, but like, I don't think it was
right.
like this.
No, I think that he was super loved overall, and of course he had a bad ending here, which I don't blame him for. I mean, it was a lot of crap that went on, but I think overall through his 8 years, he was extremely loved, but it certainly didn't happen this fast It wasn't like in a year, like, boom.
Well, because when they won that World Series with Francona, it was a lot on the players, right? It was the idiots, it was Kevin Millar, it was Johnny Damon, it was Pedro, it was the players. Right. People give Cora just as much credit, if not all of the credit, for this World Series than the players, which is crazy.
Right. It's just, he's like, people give him so much credit, and it's, I think rightfully so, no doubt. They also had fantastic players, so, but yeah, it's just the way that he's just gone right in here. And he was a player here too. He wasn't loved like this as a player. He was a very average player, and you know, people liked him and people thought he was going to be a good manager, but like, you never would have expected it to be something like this. He was just another average player, right?
Yeah. No, he was, yeah, he was like Brock Holt. Like, he was right. A role player. He was that generation's Brock Holt. So like, now granted, if Brock Holt was a manager, I think a lot of people would love that too, because of just like how good he is. And I think it's, I think a lot of times you hear in coaching, in any level of any sport, it's the top athletes can not always coach as well, because they had a way to do it, and it's hard to force your way on somebody when it doesn't work for everybody, you know? So it's always those, right, like, middle of the guys, utility guys. Look how many catchers can manage, right? Because catchers usually aren't, like, the bona fide superstars of the league. They know the game, they understand the game, and they're not great at everything, but they understand how it works. That's kind of how Cora is. He wasn't a phenomenal baseball player, but he's smart and knows he's a baseball guy. And so that's kind of makes him a great manager.
No, it totally does, and you're right about the catcher, for sure. A lot of managers are catchers, but yeah, I mean, it's just, I wouldn't have predicted this to happen just because, like, based on him playing here, because, like, he didn't seem like he was that popular to fans, at least. Maybe he was popular to players, but he wasn't that popular to fans because, like, you know, you didn't know that much about his personality, like, off the field, like, the guys you mentioned, Ortiz, Millar, and Manny, being Manny and everything, like, there wasn't really any of that with him.
No.
But now all of a sudden he's like the greatest manager in the world. It's like something clearly changed from then to now. And, you know, I didn't know what he was going to be like until he got here. And then now I certainly see. So I think it's pretty cool that he's been here in two different capacities, but this one's clearly very different than that one was.
Could you imagine Manny being a manager of a baseball team? Like, God, I could see Ortiz doing it, but like, and even then probably not, but Manny Ramirez, manager of the Boston Red Sox, is no.
He lasts for like 5 days. He's like, I hate this.
He's like, I'm done. I'm going to go be Manny again. I'm out.
Enough press conferences. I don't want to do this anymore.
Because we're talking about Alex Cora, I think this is a good transition to the manager of the year conversation and the awards that are out there. And that's obviously what we want to talk about tonight for the most part. Because we're in the offseason, Jess, and we know you love that. So we'll talk about the gold gloves in a minute because obviously those were announced. But since we're on Alex Cora, he was invited announced as a finalist for manager of the year. How does he not get it? Is really my question.
He has to.
For the
he
amount, absolutely has I to. Understand who else is on the list, but how does Alex Cora not get this award?
He has to. I mean, it's not even based off playoffs, so that doesn't even matter. But I mean, 108 wins.
In his first year, he took the Boston Red Sox to the most wins, in the franchise history.
Right.
But the same team that John Farrell had for 2 years and couldn't get above 95 wins and get out of the playoffs in the first round. Same
right.
exact
plus,
team
plus
for the
JD
most
Martinez.
Part. Yeah. Yep. Like, how do you not, and I think a lot of people will take that into effect too. Because as much as it's based on this year, you have to go based off of this year compared to, well, what would have happened if he wasn't the manager? What if it was John
right.
Farrell? Then what? Okay. Well, look what happened the last 2 years. And now you have Alex Cora coming in here and going, okay, well, you know what? I'm going to use the same team. So it's insane to me that he wouldn't get it. I mean, you're looking at, let's see, where's the list? I just had it in front of me.
Kevin Cash, Bob Melvin.
And one, how the hell is Boone got a vote? Okay. So how did Alex Cora not get it is really the question for me.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin Cash did a great job with the Rays. People didn't expect him to be good. They ended up being a really good team. Obviously, they weren't in the playoffs because there were a lot of really good teams in the AL. But, you know, he did a good job in a year of, like, you know, maybe average managers. And then Bob Melvin, yeah, the A's were much better than anybody expected, and they made the playoffs. They got in the wild card game. They're both good choices, but not when a guy takes the team to 108 wins in his first year as a manager. I mean, you can't – I don't know how you can look past that. I don't know how he doesn't win easily.
I think the one that would really make them, if it wasn't Corey, it'd be Bob Melvin. As much as the Rays had a good year, I think Kevin Cash won't get it. I think it would be Bob Melvin. But then also Bob Melvin, if he was manager of the year, he had a chance to outthrow the Astros. And I think if they did that, then maybe, because the Astros are the Astros. So I think if that happens, then I think you have a better argument. But Alex Cora took a team that was destined to be a mediocre first round out exit playoff team like they have been and got them to rally, play around him, win the most games in franchise history, and then obviously go to win a World Series, which isn't affected by that. But it just doesn't make sense if he doesn't get it.
You can't win the most games in the franchise history of a team over 100 years and not win Manager of the Year. That doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense.
If that happens, I'm gonna go like to the whoever decides this crap.
Yeah, no, it's
go to each other's houses and tell them they're insane.
Absolutely ridiculous. All right, while we're staying on the races, Mookie Betts is a finalist for the MVP. No shocker, should win it. The thing to me is JD Martinez isn't on this list. Like, Jose Ramirez of the Indians and Mike Trout, shocker, is on the list. How is JD Martinez not a finalist for this? Because all year, and this isn't just local too, Jess. This was around the league. It was, you have two finalists in Boston and then there'll be somebody else like Mike Trout as a third. Like, this was a well-known thing around the league that JD and Mookie were head-to-head racing for the MVP. And now he's not even a finalist.
I thought it was guaranteed that they would be 1-2. I don't know how he's not a finalist. I thought that was a shoo-in.
No, I understand.
I thought it was, people either said JD or Mookie.
Yeah.
No question.
And I understand.
Mike Trout?
Yeah,
come
and
on.
I understand, like, the argument of, oh, well, he doesn't have a position. But I don't. Because if you look at his splits for the year, he DH'd more, but he still played the outfield, guys.
Like, yeah, it wasn't plenty.
He wasn't David Ortiz, which is literally DH. And you can still win the MVP. Like, I swear it out on Twitter. I was like, what the hell? Why is he not an MVP? And someone right away said, well, he doesn't have a position. Yeah, he does. It's called designated hitter.
Yeah.
And left field. He played the outfield, guys.
He
like,
played
I
the
don't
outfield
get it.
Plenty.
And all year, all baseball quote-unquote experts, us, Joe Schmoes here doing a podcast, you look at these guys and it's, okay, Mookie Betts is probably going to be one, JD Martinez is two, and all year, as they kept one-upping each other, we just said, okay, now which one would you give it to? Like, we just kept bouncing right back and forth all summer. Now, why all of a sudden is he not here?
330, 43 homers, 130 RBI. How is that not a top three player in the what in what world are we living in right now? Mike Trout?
Sorry. I think Mike Trout gets on this list every year by default.
Hits 79 RBI. How is he?
He didn't even hit 100 this year. Like, come on.
He hit 312 with 39 homers and 79 RBI. How is he in the top three?
I mean,
like, what?
Jose Ramirez had a better season than he did. Like, I think Ramirez deserves to be on the list, but so does JD Martinez.
And Jose Ramirez fell off towards the end of the year. His average went all the way down to 270. He had 39 homers and 105 RBI. That wasn't even close to JD's numbers.
Yeah.
In any of those, he has 25 less RBI, 4 less homers, and hit 60 points lower. What? I don't get it.
Yeah.
I just don't get this at all.
I can't.
It doesn't make any sense.
I can't wrap my head around looking at the list. When I saw that come out today, I was like, wait, hold on. Is that a typo? Are they joking with us right now? I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense at all. And you're going to hear about it. And I mean, granted, if Mookie Betts wins, it's kind of a moot point because I think we all thought Mookie Betts was going to win. Anyway, he should win. And compared to Ramirez and Trout, if he doesn't win, then something's going on.
Huh.
Because I think this list is set up for him to win. And maybe that was part of it. Maybe they just didn't want to put JD in there too. but then again, if they thought he was going to win, just give him all the votes. It doesn't matter. So
like Trout? I mean, what?
It doesn't make sense at all, and I think this is just baseball. Who even makes this list, first of all? Is it the league? Is it coaches? I always forget.
That's what I want to know. I have no clue.
Because this screams to me just, yeah, we want to give Mike Trout because it's Mike Trout. And it's like, no, it's not Mike Trout this year. He had a terrible year in his standards, not in general. And
79 RBI?
Like, that's not an MVP, even top three list type
thing. Xander Bogaerts had over 100 RBI. He torch Mike Trout in RBI.
Yeah, if Xander's not on this list, then why is Mike Trout on this list?
Like, I don't get it. Chris Davis on Oakland had 48 homers, 123 RBI. Where's he?
No, none of this makes sense. And the only thing that makes sense about this list is Mookie Betts. And I think the only thing that's going to happen off this list is that Mookie Betts is going to be the MVP of the American League. And I'd be surprised otherwise because look at the year Mookie had. If he isn't, Jess, oh my God.
I mean, at least JD won the Hank Aaron Award for best offensive player. Thank God. Cause he needed something for that season he had, but not even be in the top three of MVP. Thought he was guaranteed to get two.
Yeah.
This is almost egregious as Betts not being on the list.
Yeah, no, it's the same idea.
This is as bad as if Cora didn't win manager of the year. Like, this is absurd.
Yeah. And it's terrible and it's
hard.
It's definitely something to be pissed about. And, this voting is terrible. You know what else is terrible, Jess, is us as men. We're terrible at taking care of our health. Whether it's a knee injury, back, or something worse, guys are usually more comfortable, quote unquote, rubbing some dirt on it than seeing a doctor. And Jess, I'm guilty of it myself. You're guilty of it. I know there's a lot of time where, you know, even growing up or getting older, some sports injuries where you just, people, instead of, you know, going for the flow and trying to get help, you just say, I got it, rub some dirt on it, we'll be good to go. Guys, the same is true for erectile dysfunction. Studies show 70% of guys who experience ED don't get treated for it. Thankfully, Roman created an easy way to get checked out by a doctor and get treated for ED online. Roman is a one-step shop where licensed U.S. physicians can diagnose ED and ship medication right to your door. With Roman, there are no waiting rooms, awkward face-to-face conversations, or comfortable trips to the pharmacy. You can handle everything discreetly online. All you have to do is visit GetRoman.com/socks, fill out a brief medical onboarding chat with a doctor, and get FDA-approved ED meds delivered to your door in discreet, unmarked packaging. Guys, go online and get checked by the doctor. Erectile dysfunction is a problem that guys don't tackle, but with Roman, it's really easy, so take care of it. For a free online visit, get to Roman.com/socks, S-O-X. That's GetRoman.com/socks for a free online visit. GetRoman.com/socks. All right, Jess. So before we get out of here, Gold Gloves happened. We know who won the Gold Gloves Awards. Mookie Betts, JD, I almost said JD Martinez. Damn you for not voting him on the MVP list. JBJ and Ian Kinsler, of all people, won Gold Gloves this year. Did Ian Kinsler have that good of a defensive year? Like, that he should have won a Gold Glove?
I don't know what his stats were for the rest of the year, but I mean, I know that when he came here, he made two fantastic plays within like two innings of each other at second base. I think, I mean, one for him, it's not a playoff award, so they don't care about his error in the 13th inning of Game 3 of the World Series. Two, he's been a good fielder his entire career, so it doesn't surprise me. I guess I was a little surprised that nobody was better, but he is a good fielder, regardless of making that error, so I'm fine with that. I think it makes sense.
Okay.
In terms of that.
Mookie and JBJ, not really surprising. Mitch Moreland
JBJ making it surprising that he hasn't gotten one yet.
I know. The fact this was his first one was kind of crazy. But again, I think you have to be on the field consistently to do that. And he's been so on and off the field because of his bat the last couple years. But this year, Alex Cora, said, screw that. You're playing our outfield. We need you out there defensively. And look what happens. He wins a Gold Glove. John Farrell. Hey. Okay. So Mookie and JBJ, we knew that was going to happen. Benintendi and Mitch Moreland were also up for them, did not get them. Are you surprised? I'm not really. I think JBJ and Mookie were the shoo-ins, but Andrew Benintendi in left field loses out, and so does Mitch Moreland at first base.
Yeah, I was a little surprised. I thought Moreland was going to get it, but I guess the reason he didn't, probably most likely, is because he didn't play enough to warrant that, because that's why, you know, people were saying JBJ won it because Kevin Kiermaier was hurt and Byron Buxton was hurt, and they're the guys who keep getting them over him. And Kevin Pillar was hurt. He's the other one. So I think that maybe went against Moreland because he didn't play every day. You know, he did a little platoon with Hanley at first and then with Steve Pierce for the rest of the year. So I kind of expected him to get it, but I think it makes sense that he didn't in terms of that. Benintendi, I mean, yeah, he's the worst. I do air quotes. He's the worst of the three that the Sox have. I mean, you already have three of the nine, so I guess that's pretty impressive. Alex Gordon won it instead. He's always been a good fielder, too. Would have been surprised if Benintendi got it, but I'm not surprised that he didn't either. And I'm glad that Betts and Benny did because they're obviously the cornerstones.
They were the best center fielder and right fielder in the league all year. Like, there's just no question about that.
Right. And Betts has won it 3 years in a row now.
Yeah, he's going to get a Gold Glove almost every year he plays in the outfield now. He's just that good of a defender. And I think Jackie Bradley has the right to get a Gold Glove almost every year he plays now if he's consistently out there because of how good he is in defensively. I think Jackie Bradley's a better outfielder than Mookie Betts.
He is.
So at this point, I think now that he's consistently in the lineup, he should have three Gold Gloves too. You know, like, they should be hand in hand. So, I think that's partially the playing time last couple years for JBJ. But Alex Gordon, didn't realize for one, is a sixth Gold Glove.
Yeah, he's a good fielder.
Also, I'm kind of thinking that maybe they didn't give it to Benintendi because they didn't want to give it to the entire Red Sox outfield.
That's what I said. Like, he's the worst of the three. So
because
I think you're right.
I think it's realistic where you can make an argument that, like, Alex Gordon with the Gold Gloves, like Mike Trout with MVP, where you could always put him on the list and it kind of makes sense. Like, this year, obviously not. We just talked about how much of an idiotic thing it was. But, like, Alex Gordon winning a Gold Glove almost every year, like, wouldn't be a, isn't a big deal to a lot of people. And I think for, as the way that I think these guys looked at it when they voted is, Ian Kinsler is going to get Red Sox name. JBJ, Mookie Betts are definitely getting it. Mookie Betts is getting the MVP most likely. We should probably not give a Gold Glove to Andrew Benintendi too. Even though this team probably, I think he deserved it. I think he played well enough to get a Gold Glove, but when Alex Gordon's the alternative, I think it's hard for them to give it to the entire Red Sox outfield.
Yeah, and it shouldn't be that way.
No, absolutely not.
It probably is, just for that reason. Yeah, it's, you know, you have to give it to Betts, you have to get it to Bradley, especially because he never gotten one. So it's so impressive, though, that Betts gets, has three Gold Gloves in the outfield after starting his career as a second baseman.
How many would he have as a second baseman?
That's
crazy. Because, like, he was a really good second baseman defensively, too.
Right. Exactly. That's crazy. I think that's equally impressive than anything else happening, just that he could do that. He's just such a good athlete that that's what he did. I'm looking at some numbers here, too, some stats. Kinsler was tied with Rougned Odor for most defensive runs saved of second baseman in the AL with 10. So if you look at that, then that's fair. And he beat out Odor and Lowry, so it's the second Gold Glove. So that, I think that makes sense. And then, like you said, Gordon beat out Benintendi, and he's obviously been a good fielder for a while. So, and then Matt Olson won at first base, and he led first baseman in defensive run save. So they clearly look at that quite a bit for Gold Gloves. So I think it all makes sense. Those make a lot more sense than J.D. Martinez not being on the MVP ballot, or if Alex Cora doesn't win Manager of the Year. So I'm cool with those, and I'm happy they got three, because that's 3 out of 9. That's pretty good percentage.
If Alex Cora does not win the Manager of the Year, I don't know. I just lose all hope in humanity. If Mookie Betts doesn't win MVP, might cancel the show. If Mookie Betts doesn't win MVP, sorry Nick Gelso, but the show might get canceled. If Mookie Betts doesn't win MVP. Okay, one bit of Red Sox news just before we get out of here for the week. That's a little off-season related. Sorry, Jess, it has to be brought up.
Oh.
The Red Sox extended their qualifying offer to Craig Kimbrel, 17.9 mil, like everybody else's. I look at this as we're gonna give it to you. We know you're not gonna take it. We just want to get the draft pick back when you leave. What is your take on them actually giving them the qualifying offer? I think they had to do it because it'd be dumb for them not to, because worst case, they get a pick now if he leaves. But do you think he takes it is the big question?
No, probably not. He should get more. I don't know what team will give him that. It's hard to know with him because he was still great for most of the year, and then obviously struggled at the end. He's been one of the best closers in the league for the last 6 years or so. So he's definitely one of the best. I'd love to have him back because I know he's good, but I think him struggling at the end of the year might come back to cost him. So if he comes back, I'd be happy with that, but I don't think he's going to take that offer.
No, I think if he comes back, it's going to be on high money. People are talking about 20, even 30 million a year, depending on who pays him and what team he goes to, because he can make more money probably on a bad team. But there'll be some contenders out there that would pay for his services. Maybe the Braves want him back, maybe, you know, because now they're contending again. You know, there's options for him out there to make money and still be on a contender. And I think he winning this year for him also takes that off his back. Hey, you know what? I have my ring. The only thing I think would really keep him here is the hospitals because of what they did for his daughter.
That's a great point.
And so I think that's a big part of it, because if something happens again, or if he's not, I don't know the situation. I don't think any of us have really been updated on it, but like, he flew up back up to Boston during spring training. Like, he was at the hospitals here. And we all have heard so much praise, and we know that because we grew up here, but like, the hospitals around here are great. So does that play a factor? Does he say, I don't want to take this qualifying offer, but like, let's meet in the middle, I want to stay? Then yeah, if you're the Red Sox, you work something out and you do it. Because I think ideally you'd like him to stay, because if you're trying to defend your title, who's going to close? Like, if he doesn't come back, Jess, what's your options? You don't really have one right now. You have to figure that out.
Right. He's still one of the best closers in the league, no matter what he did at the end of the year. And he's still only 30, so he's still got three good years left in him, I'd say at least. So, yeah, I mean, there's nothing really left for him in terms of stats. He's 7-time All-Star. Mm-hmm. He's now a World Series champion. He was Rookie of the Year in the NL in 2011. 2-time Reliever of the Year, 4-time Saves Leader. I mean, he's got all the stats. He's a great closer. He's had an awesome career. His career ERA is 1.85. He's got 332 saves. So, really, stats and awards, He's pretty much done everything, and now he's got his championship. So yeah, maybe that is a case for him to stay here with, like, judging on the hospitals, like, making a lifestyle move rather than a baseball move. So,
especially
we'll
when you're still going to get paid a lot of money.
Right, exactly.
And I honestly, as much as I don't think they'd make this decision, I'd rather them pay him over Joe Kelly, because he thinks, you know what I mean? Like, but that being said, I think you'd rather pay Nathan Eovaldi, Steve Pearce, and Joe Kelly than just pay Craig Kimbrell.
Right.
So there's options there. You have to figure out what you'd rather do. Now, I think Nathan Eovaldi's priority number one, just because of the power arm that he is, that you don't really have that righty power arm to put in the rotation if he does leave. And then after that, I think it's either Joe Kelly or Craig Kimbrell you got to decide, because then you got to figure out Steve Pearce, because he needs to stay, because that platoon worked, and I don't see why you don't pay him, because he's not going to be that expensive. So those news will come down as after these awards get knocked out, we get closer to, you know, more off-season winter meetings, things like that. But overall, not surprised Kimbrell gets this qualifying offer. Won't be surprised when he turns it down. And I won't even be surprised if he just doesn't come back to the Red Sox. But there's a case for him either way, whether he stays or not. So I think that's going to be the one of the bigger, obviously, storylines besides, you know, what they do with Eovaldi and Kelly and those guys. The big offseason will be next year when Sale's up and Mookie Betts needs to get paid and Xander Bogaerts needs to get paid and Jackie Bradley Jr. needs to get paid. So there's decisions to be made with this team despite the talent they have, Jess, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. It'll be interesting to see who comes back. It's always, you know, you win a World Series, and as it happened in 04, happened in 13, guys leave pretty quickly and the team changes quite a bit. So it'll be interesting to see how much of this team they can keep around and try to go back to back, which is so hard to do in baseball. So I will be interesting to see what the moves they do. But as I've said a lot, you win a World Series, that gets everybody off your back for at least a couple of years, even in Boston, because, you know, it's hard to win a couple times in a row. So this is, they did what they needed to do.
I think they have a year now to figure it out, but I also think they need to also utilize this Chris Sale window, because after next year, you don't know what's happening. Like, are you going to pay Chris Sale, or are you just going to ride out David Price for the next 4 years and not have Chris Sale come back? Like, the Chris Sale is the big one to me, because this year he's going to play for cheap in 2019. And then once 2020 hits, you got to have a plan, because Chris Sale, Mookie Betts, and Xander are all going to have to get paid the same year, right? If I have that in my head.
I believe so, yeah.
So that's tough. I think JBJ is a year after that, if not the same year. So
realistically, this is next year is probably the best time to your best chance to win again.
And your next year is your best chance to load up and just do it again,
which would be crazy.
And then after that, if you have to lose Chris Sale, whatever, you figure it out. You still have Mookie Betts. You pay, because I don't, at this point, you pay Mookie Betts, you pay Xander Bogaerts, you pay Jackie Bradley, you pay those young core guys. You're gonna have to pay Devers, because that's the core of the team moving forward. You can bring in a veteran. You can bring in a veteran starter down the road to be your ace for a couple years, like you did with Chris Sale. If you don't want to pay Chris Sale past his contract, that's fine. But you need the young core, like Houston has with Bregman and Altuve and those guys. You need that here, and that's what Mookie Betts, Xander Bogaerts, Devers, Jackie Bradley, Benintendi, that's what those guys are. Those guys need to get paid.
Yeah, because like you said, those guys that can be like Sale, those guys are more important than him because they're younger, and they are, I mean, Sale's only 29, he's not that old, but, you know, injuries, and, you know, he's thrown a lot of innings, and he throws hard, so those guys don't last forever. So, yeah, next year could be a big year. I mean, I guess if any team can go back-to-back, it's a team that won 108 games.
Seriously.
Right?
So, they would be the team to do it, and there's a lot of talent there. We'll leave it there for the week. Hopefully, Mookie Betts wins the MVP.
We're not going to know by next show. It comes out on the 15th.
Yeah, no, we won't know until that'll be just before our next 2 weeks from now. It won't be next week, so. We'll see. We'll await the news like the rest of you. So don't forget, obviously, on Twitter, Red Sox CLNS. Facebook is Red Sox Beat Podcast. Rate, review, subscribe on iTunes. Of course, follow the network coverage at Red Sox CLNS Twitter handle. All the breaking news that's coming out, we'll still be tweeting there despite the off-season among us here. We obviously want to thank you and vocally send our thank you for the entire network for hopping on with us for the coverage for your 2018 World Series champion Boston Red Sox. And hopefully we're leading into the offseason, to the winter meetings, and talking about some exciting stuff that Jess hates to talk about until we get to pitchers and catchers a few months from now. And we'll right back at it in February when we're all talking about snow and Fort Myers becomes a thing again in a few short months. So we'll leave it there. That's Jess Thomas. I am Jared Scally. We'll be back next week, Red Sox Beat, here on CLNS Media.